seated. Go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Brother Alton, will you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble here tonight. Thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us this day. We pray that you continue to bless us for us. Thank you, see us stand in need of God. Pray that you be happy and quick as we can make for the night. Give us this service. We're going to ask you to come forth and preach your word to us. I pray that you continue to bless us.
Amen. Amen. Luke 15, verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he answered and came to his father. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll cease reading with these verses here tonight. You know, we just sang a song, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, you know, I would be enslaved. You know, without him, I would be worthless, useless. A lot of things said in that song. But I want you to think about that here tonight. You know, as we look at what's known as the prodigal son, really there's two ways that it's commonly looked at. One would be from that of a lost man that repents and turns to the Lord. And the other would be that of a saved man that wanders away from the Lord and then repents and comes home. And that's kind of what I want to deal with tonight, is the latter. I want us to see that rebellious son that finds his way home through repentance. Now, notice first of all that this son, he walks away. And as he walks away, Brother Jake, he walked away full. That he had enough and to spare. I believe that nothing changed. I believe that's why he thought of it that way, Brother Alton. Whenever he was there looking into the husk and would have fain filled his belly with those husks, and he says, look, back home, the servants have enough and to spare. So I believe he knew that from experience, that as he's leaving home, he is leaving an overflowing cup. When he leaves home, he's leaving enough and to spare. That he didn't want for anything. His needs were being met daily. That he sat down to his daily bread. and provisions were being made according to his needs, and probably, Brother Mike, more than just his needs, probably some of his wants, just to be honest with you. And yet, we do know this. The father later says, look, all that I had was yours. Talking to the other son, he says, all that I have is yours already. Everything that I own belongs to you. It's all yours. You're my son. And so I'm not going to withhold anything from you. I think about that fatted calf. He said, go kill the fatted calf. And the other son said, well, I didn't even get so much as a kid. He said, all that I have is yours. Well, I tell you, that to me, that's beautiful to think that all that the Father has is ours. We are His children, and so therefore we are heirs. But I want you to see that as he leaves home, he didn't want for anything, and all of the things he needed was being provided. And so he goes away from the Father, and it's not long he begins to be in want. He begins to need. He begins to suffer. Somebody said, well, life kicked in. He got out from under Daddy's roof, and he realized just what life was all about. Look, I believe it's more than that. He left there, and he decided, I don't want anything to do with that lifestyle. I'm walking away from Daddy. I'm walking away from everything I've ever known, and I'm going out here, and I'm just going to live up life, do what I want, anything that I feel big enough to do, that's what I'm going to do. It's not long he finds himself in trouble. He finds himself beginning to suffer. And what I want you to see tonight, I want you to notice the efforts he took to get things back on track. He didn't just get out here and say, well, this is really hard, I'm going home. But rather, he gets to a point where he is desperate and a famine falls upon him. And when the famine comes along, he didn't say, well, surely Daddy will understand about this famine over here and things are tough and I'll just go home. He says, the famine is upon me. I've got to do something. So he begins to try to make some effort. He says, you know, I'll go down here and I'll join myself to a citizen. In other words, I'm going to work through this. Father never has to know. He never has to worry about this. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to get things back on track. So he begins to work real hard to try to get out of this situation. He's no doubt clawing and scratching, trying to get out of this predicament that he's in. He says, I'll feed these swine. There's really, especially for a Jew, there's no worse job than that. You just couldn't get a job any lower than have to feed swine, no doubt. But he says, I'll go down and I'll feed this man's swine. That's not what he desired to do, but in his mind, I'm desperate and I've got to do something. I've got to handle this somehow. And so he gets down there and he feeds these swine. To a point, he's now looking over into the hog trough. He sees these husks, maybe some corn and husk that's been thrown in there. And he is so hungry, he's thinking about filling his belly with this hog slop. And no man was there to give to him. You know, as he's living life up, this righteous living, no doubt he's got people that's right there alongside him. You can't really have a party unless there's more than one person. And no doubt he's got friends. He's probably got people taking advantage of him. And you know, no doubt there for the money. But when the money's gone, they are too. And he's in trouble, and nobody really cares. And he's hungry, and nobody will even take him in to feed him. You know, I want us to see this man, again, trying to fix things without the Father. We say, without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, I'd be enslaved. Without Him, I would be worthless. Listen, we've got a man here that has gotten away from the Father, and he's trying to fix things without the Father. I don't want him to know I'm not going back and begging his forgiveness. I'm not going back and let him know or see how far I've come and how big of a mistake I've become. I'm just not going to do it. So he said, I must fix this. I think this is the solution. Maybe this will get me out of this predicament. And no doubt this famine is tough. And no doubt it was ordered of the Lord that it come upon him. But you know, his own solution wasn't the answer. And I'm trying to be real careful how I say this. His own power to dig himself out of a jam was not the answer. When the blessings ran out, no doubt he thought maybe this is as low as I'm going to go. And now, here I run out of money, but I'll make it. I'm going to make it. And I don't need the Father. I don't need him. But then this famine comes upon me. And it gets worse. And then he joins himself to this citizen and it gets worse. And then he's feeding hogs and it gets worse and he gets hungry. And it gets worse. Sometimes we think, man, life can't get any worse than what it is until it does. Until things do get worse. I want you to hold on to that just a minute. You may think I'm leaving the whole thought. But I thought about the disciples as they're out on the boat. When this terrible storm comes upon them. And Jesus is on the boat. But we don't need to go get him. We can handle the ocean. We can handle the sea. We can handle a little wind. And so they fought and they fought until all hope was lost. And then they go get Jesus. And then they make a statement that later on, no doubt, rebuke for that. Do you care that we perish? You don't even care. When their labor was useless, when they couldn't solve the problem, when all was lost, then they found the Savior. Tonight, the desire to work is not an evil thing. I don't want you to get that out. This man, he got out here and he got in trouble and now he's trying to find a job and he's trying to work to fix it. That is not a bad thing to have a desire to work. In fact, there's more people ought to have that desire to get out and work. It's not a bad thing. Courage to fight through a problem, that is not a bad thing. Faith to hold on whenever things are bad and just have a faith that they're going to get better, that's not a bad thing. But there's a difference, and this is what I want you to hear tonight. There's a difference between working with the Father and walking away trying to make things happen on our own. There's a big difference. Whenever we feel like that we've just got to handle something because maybe the Father is not here. Maybe God is not taking care. He's not helping. He's not blessing. And so I've got to jump in and do something. I've got to make things happen. Sometimes it's like taking a puzzle. We have this thing going on in life and we take them. We've got to put this puzzle piece in and it won't fit. And so we keep mashing and pushing and turning. And finally we just start beating it in. Sometimes things just don't fit. We need to back up and realize maybe we're trying to do things without the Lord. Maybe we've walked away from the Father and that's where the blessings run out. This prodigal, he walked away from the Father enjoying blessings and he felt that he could go out into this life and duplicate success without him. Joshua led the people into the promised land. And as he looks at Jericho, what you see in Joshua is a very humbled man. That without God, we cannot do anything. We need the Lord. And so he goes to the Lord and he asks God for guidance. And God blesses and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. God was with them. All right, what happened next? You say, well, you have this man that sinned and nobody knew about it. Yes, Achan sinned. There's no doubt about that. But if you go and read, you don't find where Joshua sought the Lord. You don't find where Joshua went for instruction. You just find that they felt like, we had success at Jericho. We understand now what we need to do. And we can just run down here and we can duplicate that success. Because if they had went to the Lord, there's no doubt, Brother Jake, that God would have said, before you go out, you've got to take care of sin in the camp. But there's this mindset that, okay, we have went and we know what blessings are like, and we saw how things work. Now we can do it on our own and we can duplicate success. I want us to understand tonight, success without God cannot be duplicated with our own abilities. You cannot duplicate success that God brings. No matter how hard we try, no matter our abilities, no matter how good we may be at things. Again, those disciples, they could have been, you know, maybe in the field of carpentry and be out on that boat and said, we don't know anything about a boat. We've got to have some help. And they might have went run to the Lord. But they were out on that ship, and there's nothing in the world they understood better than the sea. So we'll handle this. And we ought to be able to be successful and bring this ship through this storm. But when all hope was lost, then they looked to the Lord. You know, when I surrendered to preach, I understood that I could not do anything without Him. The moment that I surrendered, you talk about someone that was just absolutely scared to death. I understood, Lord, when I surrender, if you don't help me, I will not be able to do anything. If you don't hold my hand, there's not going to be any words come out of my mouth. If you don't help me, I'm going to fall over and pass out in front of all these people. That's where I was. But you know, after a few years, my attitude changed just a little bit. I'm ashamed to even say that, but it did. To some degree, my attitude changed just a little bit. And all of a sudden, I kind of got the hang of this. I kind of know the ins and outs. I feel a little more comfortable standing there. And so, you know, I can relax a little bit. I can let my prayer life slide. Just a little bit. I can let some values slide just a little bit. It wasn't long, Miss Jackie, the Lord let me know, nope, son. Oh, you cannot even walk without me holding your hand. You cannot do anything without me. You just cannot do it. And I know you say, well, we know that, but I want to remind you tonight, man must be reminded that we cannot even succeed in our field of expertise without the Lord's blessing. We cannot. It's by the grace of God that you have found any success in life whatsoever. It is by the grace of God that you are able to pay your next note. It's by the grace of God that you make a living doing whatever it is that you do. If it's feeding hogs, if it's painting houses, whatever it may be. Maybe you're running a firm, whatever. You say, well, I'm a very successful businessman. Not without the Lord. We cannot find success without Him. There is no success outside of His blessing. Now, turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. In verse 20. Says, and Herod was highly displeased with them at Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat down upon his throne, made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten up with worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. So you have a man here and say, "Well, he was not a saved man. We don't know about this man. Certainly it wouldn't seem that he would be a saved man." And yet, I want to look at it from this point of view. You have a man that the world looked at and deemed him to be a god. This man, he is a man among men. He is more than a man. He is a god. Why did they think that? Because he appeared to be successful. He appeared to be a successful ruler over the people. And so they're making this big to-do about him. He's a god. He's not even a man. He's a god. And while all this was being said, he falls down and no doubt maybe burst open with worms. And he died. And the reason that happened was because he gave not God the glory. But he appeared to be so successful. He appeared to have it all. People were worshiping this man. But he didn't give God the glory. And so God took him without it and moved him out of the way. And he let his word prosper there because he got glory through his word. I want us to understand tonight, there is no success without him. Man cannot duplicate the success that is found in him. It is so important that we come to ourselves and we see where our blessings come from. Now, I know for the most part, everybody here, that you see that already. But just to remind us, because if there's one thing that man is good at, it's getting lifted up a little bit. It's getting a little bit prideful. "Well, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing something else." And really, what can you do without him? I tell you what, you know, I do so much for the church, they ought to recognize. I know nobody would say that. I trust nobody would. I tell you what, the Lord blesses us to be able to come and have part here. This is a blessing. This is an honor to be able to come to Clear Branch, to be able to serve here at Clear Branch. Whatever it is that we might get to come do, it's an honor. It's a blessing. Now, tonight, you may be a hard worker. You may be courageous. You may be a problem solver. You may be educated. You may be excellent in your field. But I'm going to say this, and this is not an insult to anyone here. You are absolutely a failure without him. You cannot do anything without him. Does someone here tonight, maybe you need to remember the Father. Maybe there's some, I know it's just a few of us here. Maybe somebody, we need to come back home. Maybe there's someone here we're kind of tired of the bottom of the barrel. And maybe the Lord has convicted our heart and shown us that we've wandered far away from him. We have wandered away. We left him. And we need to turn back. One of my favorite statements in the Bible, I have a lot of them, but it's one of my favorite statements in the Bible. When he come to himself. When he finally come to himself. When it finally clicked, okay. What I need to do is I need to swallow my pride. I need to realize where I'm at, and I need to turn and go back the way I came. I need to turn and go back to my Father, because that's where the blessings are. If we're willing to do that tonight, maybe there's someone here that's exactly where you are and you need to turn back to the Lord. I want to encourage you, rise up and come or go back home tonight, however you want to look at it. Come home, go home. But ain't it beautiful that whenever that he decided, he come to himself and he goes home. Father said, go kill the fatted calf. Put the royal robe on him. Put a ring on his hand. A ring is not a need, by the way. Neither is that royal robe. But he said, this is my son. Give him the best. Kill the fatted calf. There may be one waiting for us if we're willing to turn and go to him. Yeah. I want you to pray for me tonight. It's real easy to preach something like this and say, well, you know, this is what we need to do. But I don't want to do anything on my own. Because without him, we are nothing. Without him, we're worthless. And I don't want to ever get lifted up. You pray for me. That's something not just church members deal with is pride, but also us preachers. We can deal with pride and get lifted up. You pray for me. We'll ask for something.